guys, it's Kelly, and I'm here with Jesse, and this is
the Jesse and Kelly Show.
We bring you weekly outrageous conversations about current events, healthy and happy living, yoga and green parenting, fringe thought, and holistic alternatives, all in an easy-to-listen-to style. After 10 years of saying someone should be recording us, we decided to record ourselves. Jesse is a yoga studio owner and teacher living in Northern California, and I live on a tiny island in the Caribbean, where I do marketing part-time and mommying full-time. Grab a glass of wine, I'm going to put my toes in the sand for you, and enjoy the show. Hey, Jess.
Hey, Kel, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I am doing okay. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Not that much. I had kind of a weird day where I was just, my energy's kind of been off all day, but I think it's just because I'm coming down with a little cold. So you know what that means.
Apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, it does. So yeah, I had an emergency and I had an apple cider vinegar, and then we went and watched the sunset into the Caribbean Sea.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. Well,
but there were no drinks involved because it's still Sobuary. This Sobuary is the longest Sobuary in all of the history of Sobuaries.
And why do you think that is?
I don't know. Honestly, I was not having an issue with it until today. And then I just had kind of a crappy day. And then we got to the beach and I was like, I wish it wasn't Sobuary.
Yeah.
I feel like cheating, hoping that my husband was going to be like, yeah, let's have a beer.
Well, you showed me that Instagram of the lady that's like, Sobuary, you are allowed 3 cheat days, which sounds kind of like BS. Like, that doesn't mean you're sober the whole month.
Right. I was like halfway like, man, I wish I got cheat days. And other halfway like, yeah, you're weak.
Well, I definitely had more than my fair share of some alcoholic beverages.
Oh,
actually,
yeah?
Montevino wine, which is awesome.
Oh, my
Shenandoah.
God.
Yeah, I went up and saw our good girlfriend last weekend, and we decided to do drunk podcasting. Which, when I listen to the playback on it, I'm like, wow, Jesse, you sound so much better when you're a little 3 sheets to the wind.
No, you're crazy. You sound drunk. You have like a drunk voice that happens to you, and you definitely have it.
I feel like I sound more vivacious, but
no, you don't. You sound drunk.
Anyways, it was hysterical and
it was really funny.
Also a little humiliating at points, but needless to say, we might put a couple clips up in the show notes.
Yeah, I think I might share a little tidbit or two of J Club at night. What did you guys call it? 3 J's in the evening?
3 J's in the evening.
That was some clever shit. There was some clever shit in there. I feel like Jeremy was a nice
rounding force, right?
He was, yeah, because he's just really funny anyway. But then, you know, like, we already have like 2 girls bullshitting, but to have a guy in the mix was fun too.
Yeah, he played along really well.
He really did.
I did make an asparagus ass of myself, but whatever. Save that for a different show.
Oh no,
yeah, crazy. Anyways, so what are we talking about today, Kel?
So today we're going to discuss dipping your toes into a whole foods diet, and I'm going to talk about my 90-10 lifestyle, and we're going to introduce a new segment, which will be a recurring segment, and we're calling it If I Were a Conspiracy Theorist. So we'd like for all of you to get your tinfoil hats out, get them shiny, get them on your heads, because we're going to talk about some cool conspiracy theories, and at some point in the future, we're probably going to have a real live conspiracy theorist come on and actually talk about conspiracy theories too.
Oh, I can't wait. That sounds amazing. We're going to have to hold it down pretty hard, but first.
Oh yeah. I was going to talk to you. I'm sorry. I had a brain fart. I was going to talk about how, Natural News, which is a website, has got censored off of Google.
Yeah, so Kelly tells me today, she's like, hey, did you know that naturalnews.com is not on Google? And I did a Google search, Natural News, and it didn't show up. Like,
so
completely gone.
Okay, so you have, like, do you use Natural News? Is that a website you go to?
So when I first started dipping my toes in the Whole Foods lifestyle, probably back in like, 2011 or so, it was a great resource for me because they had so much information on like the benefits of different food items that I wasn't taking in my daily life. And
right.
Yeah, I've been visiting them. They're also, you know, how last time I was talking about you have CNN that's far that way and then you have Fox that's far that way. Well, then I would go also to Natural News because then they've got like the conspiracy edge, right?
Yes.
So,
and I think like, okay, so I've been a naturalnews.com consumer for a long time. I really like Mike Adams. He's the like founder of Natural News. They have a couple of people that write for them that I don't like as much. And I know like there's specifically one author where I'm like, I'm not even going to read that because this girl is just going to make me mad. But, you know, for the most part, I find it to be a really good resource. And I think like, just like with any other news you're reading on the internet, like you have to look at it objectively. You know, you don't just like, oh, Natural News says it is, so it must be. But yeah, so there is this whole. What? Go ahead.
We should just call it what it is. Like the news isn't the news, right? These aren't people like reporting. These are like pundits, like giving their opinion all the time in a way with words that makes it sound like they're reporting. So
it's a narrative. They're all basically saying the same thing. And so right now, what I feel like is happening is that a lot of these alternative news sites like Natural News, they're not saying the same thing that everybody else is saying. And so they're being attacked because they're opinions and their beliefs and their information is different than everyone else.
I think the craziest part about this is like the censorship stuff. When that starts to go through, like that's really what happened with, say, Nazi Germany and stuff. There started being like mass censoring. So once you start seeing that on the internet, you know, we're a hop, skip, and a jump away from a little bit bigger. But I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I don't know. My tinfoil hat is nice and snug right about now. So you had sent me this like article from the other side of this Natural News thing.
Yes, because we need to present in a well-rounded manner, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I just found it to be really inflammatory. And can I just read a little bit of it?
I would love that, but I would like you to cite it as well. I think I have.
Okay, so we'll put the link to this actual article in the show notes, most definitely. But this one is from Debunking Denialism. How do you say that?
I don't know.
Denialism? I don't know what that means. Whatever.
I think we should just like tell our listeners to catch Jesse enunciate one word. Is that right?
Mispronouncing. Way to mispronounce. See? Mispronounce.
Hey, there's your one word. Now I don't have to come up with another.
It'll be like, gotcha. Okay, so
I'll do it every show.
The website opposes climate science, vaccines, GMOs, and has pushed hundreds of fake cures for serious diseases, even selling some of these substances themselves, from homeopathy and turmeric to some word I can't pronounce, and bleach. Dun, dun, dun. Like, save the world from the turmeric. Jesus, frick. It's so ridiculous. Like, you can totally see exactly where these people are situated politically just by one tiny little piece of their writing. It's like this crazy fear mongering against anything that isn't mainstream pharmaceutical, like, approved.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And I also feel like don't attack my turmeric. We're like, I know I don't say the word right. So y'all, like, I feel like I need a lesson on how to pronounce turmeric, but I'm confident in the fact that it works. So these guys can suck my ass.
So I took a turmeric pill one time. Did I tell you this turmeric pill story?
I don't think so. No.
Okay, yeah. So naturalnews.com is where I learned about turmeric. And I usually use it to color soaps, right? So like the powder, you can actually put it in and it makes your soaps and soap making yellow. So it's a nice natural dye. But I needed like some inflammation reduction. And so I started taking the tablets. And I'm pretty cheap, especially since I'm on Dave Ramsey. So I just bought them from grocery outlet, Bargain Market.
Okay.
And I took all of my multivitamins and then I popped some turmeric. Well, I did that, drank some water. It felt like I had something stuck in my throat. And I go out to get into my car to go to the studio and I burp. and the pill explodes in my throat. And it was like the worst wasabi where like your skull tingles. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like where you're just like, I'm dying and I keep burping up powder.
Oh my God.
And it's like this
terrible
cloud of yellow coming out of my mouth. And then I'm like coughing. Like I was backing up out of my driveway as this happened. And I put it in park, parked my car, jumped out, started spitting out all this yellow spit.
Oh my
And just
gosh.
Like dying. And so the first 20 minutes were probably the worst. Like I went inside. I just left my car running in the driveway, drinking tons of water, trying to hack it up. And it lasted over an hour.
Oh my God, no way.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, just to set the record straight, I don't know if you can hear this, but I'm going to listen to a YouTube video on how to pronounce what I think is pronounced turmeric. How do you think it's pronounced?
Turmeric.
Oh, that sounds so nice. F you, man.
Did I win?
You can't hear it? It's all turmeric. Turmeric.
Yay, I got that
like
one right.
Like it was mocking me. Oh, man. So it's actually turmeric. And I'm sorry we're going off on this. I'm not that sorry that we're going off on this tangent because, you know, I feel passionate about turmeric. It's a root. It's
like ginger.
It is. So they just grow it here. So we get it. We actually have a bunch of it in our fridge right now. We get it fresh and we use it all the time for all kinds of stuff. So anyway.
Well, you're lucky that you have access to it. We actually do too here in Yuba City because we have a really big East Indian population. Mm. So we can go to the Indian markets and get it as well.
I usually put it in a smoothie. So maybe
how much
you
do you use?
Of like if I'm using the root?
Yes.
Maybe like a half inch piece.
Okay.
And then I like to put it in a smoothie that has like banana or pineapple. Like it's got a strong flavor. So, and it's kind of like bitter almost. So you want to pair it with something that can stand up to it. So you're not just like, oh my God, turmeric smoothie.
Oh my God, turmeric pill in my throat.
I have this great visual of you coughing and like a cloud of yellow just like shooting out of your mouth like a cartoon.
I was like a dragon.
Oh my God, that's so
funny. Turmeric dragon. Anyways, back to natural news. They are saying that it's like media censorship, right? And we're going to get into a little bit more of this conspiracy theorist stuff later on in that segment. But really, he has like 140,000 pages on his website that all disappeared off of Google.
It's really, yeah, it's messed up. But I hope that at least like the popularity or the fact that everybody's talking about this is going to get people to go to his site anyhow, because I'd hate to see him lose steam over something so shitty like that. Google.
Well, Google still hasn't gotten back to me about all the music that they lost through their Google Play. So I doubt that they're even going to comment.
We're going to have to change Google that shit to like Bing that shit.
Bing sucks, though.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate that Google is the best one.
Oh, gosh.
All right, Jess, what did you have for dinner?
I had kimchi noodle.
Oh, man. Tell me the story of the kimchi noodle.
Okay, so I usually get Bon Appetit or magazine.
Kimchi noodle.
Kimchi noodle. Yeah, I used to get the Bon Appetit magazine, which is super awesome. And they've turned like total hipster. I don't know if you remember when Bon Appetit used to be like a stuffy old person magazine.
Mm-hmm.
No, not anymore. It's total hipster, like almost too hipster.
Well, I think just like the foodie kind of vibe is like a hipster thing. And maybe before it was like not. It was like old ladies only cared about food before.
Yeah, I don't know, but they've got some good stuff. Mm-hmm. And they did like a fermented food segment.
Nice.
So like all these different things that chefs around America are fermenting. But obviously kimchi is Korean and it's delicious. So it's like spicy sauerkraut is the best way to describe it. Well, they had it in it. I'll put a link up in the show notes. They had a kimchi noodle recipe and it's pretty much just butter, chopped up kimchi, some like sambal aleek or some kind of, you know, spicy sauce, and then chicken stock, which I used vegetable stock because I didn't have any chicken stock. And
Way
I just
go.
made I just made that on my stove. I put some garlic, I put a whole bunch of different veggies and some water and let it go.
Cool.
And then I put it in there. And so you do all that. And then you add your udon noodles. And their actual recipe calls for like green onions on top and an egg. Mm-hmm. Not a fan of the egg on top. It's already so rich. Like you don't really need that. And then sesame seeds. So you can pretty much just make this recipe if you have udon, kimchi, and sesame seeds.
Which everyone should have.
Yeah.
Every day.
I'm really lucky because in Sacramento, they have the KP International Market and they have the largest variety of kimchi and they make it there fresh all the time.
Oh, man.
So you just go in and there's like refrigerator walls full of kimchi.
You've made sauerkraut before, right?
Yes.
You should totally make kimchi.
I've made sauerkraut and then just added hot sauce to it before, like the
ghetto kimchi.
Yeah, ghetto kimchi. theirs is really cool, though. Like it's Napa cabbage and they put green onion and all that stuff. But
we should go there when I'm
leave
home.
Leave it to the pros.
Yeah, that's true. I am in the end of my budget. So I'm doing this thing that I do called five meals for $50. And it's $50 sounds crazy, but it's EC dollars and it's equal to $20 US. So I do five meals, dinners for 20 US. And last night I had sweet potato enchiladas.
I've had those with you before. I know. They're so yummy.
Yeah, so it's sweet potatoes, black beans. I make an enchilada sauce from scratch, which is super easy. And if you're buying it, just stop. So sweet potatoes, black beans, garlic, onion. You know, what else do you need in this world? So I'm going to post this. That's true. I'm going to post this whole series up on our blog. It's something that I've wanted to do for a while because, you know, we're on Dave Ramsey. So we have a limited amount of money. And sometimes you get to the end of the month and you don't have that much money left. And you're thinking to yourself, like, dang, how am I going to feed us all for the rest of the month? So what I do is I cook 2 pounds of black beans in a crock pot and then I make five meals out of it. So the five meals are burritos, sweet potato enchiladas. Then I did like burrito bowls. I had that tonight because I knew I was going to need to do something quick. So, or like a, you can make it like a taco salad, whatever. And vegetarian chili or veggie chili. And that's got some good yummy veggies in it too. And then black bean burgers. And so all of these are, you know, I'm veggie, so they're vegetarian, but most of them can also be made vegan. And they're Mexican kind of food, so it's perfect. Like, me and Kirk were talking about it over dinner tonight, and it's like, yeah, you're eating beans 5 days in a row, but it doesn't feel like you're, oh, man, eating beans 5 days in a row, you know?
Dude, I eat burritos every day, so.
I know. I know, beans and rice, like, beans and rice in my life, like, when Dave Ramsey's like, you have no money, you go, beans and rice, rice and beans. I'm like, yes, can't wait.
You're like, let's get rid of all this good stuff real quick so I can get back to my burritos.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to send you this grocery list because I made it, like I tried to make it and I want to make sure that it was going to be like, I don't want to trick anybody. So I'm going to send it to you and I want you to just price compare for me just to make sure that I got the prices right. Cool.
So our first feature today, we're talking about converting to a whole foods diet, like talking about the organic, the GMO, like really kind of navigating your way through the crunchy granola style of living.
Sure.
So I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about like influences that we've had in our lives that drove us this way. I know I have a book that I read that just dramatically impacted the way I was eating, and it's called Real Food, What to Eat and Why by Nina Plank.
Okay.
It's such a good book. Anyways, I'll talk more about it, but I want to hear what got you into it.
So I also read a book, and that's actually what started my whole, like, it kind of threw me head first down, like, the hippie rabbit hole. And I read a book, and it was not as cool of a name. It's called Skinny Bitch.
Oh, not as cool of a name.
And it's by Kim. I'm looking at it. I don't know how to say it. Kim Barnouian. Whatever. Anyway.
And I was you'll the remember one that the title. Was mispronouncing, huh?
Yeah, you'll remember the title. So actually, Skinny Vitch advocates for a vegan lifestyle and also, you know, free of free of GMOs and processed food. And it just, it was one of those things where I didn't know, like, I just didn't know what was going on with the food that I was eating. And this kind of like, it forced me to realize that, you know, the foods that I was putting into my body were, first of all, like made of garbage. The animals in like the factory farms were maybe not being treated in a way that I felt good about. So that's kind of what like kicked it off for me. And then, you know, it's like anything else. Like once you're interested in it, you start just consuming the information anywhere you can get it. So I'm talking to people about it. I'm doing internet research. I'm watching documentaries, which, by the way, there's a ton of good documentaries about food on Netflix.
What is it like? Forks over.
Yeah. Forks Over Knives is a good one. The most recent one that I watched was called Genetic Roulette. And I don't think that one is on Netflix. I'm not really sure because our Netflix is different than your Netflix, but Genetic Roulette was, I mean, it's kind of a cheesy one, and that's hard too with documentaries sometimes, right? Like even though there's good information, like it's a little cheesy, but that one explained GMOs in a way that like, I don't want to eat anything GMO now, you know, like it just explained it really well.
I'm going to take a little bit of a rebuttal because most of the food that we have has been genetically modified, but not the way that we're seeing it now. So a lot of it is just like, you know, breeding seeds together.
Yeah. And that's
different. That's the original. So it's not all the GMOs aren't bad. It's the ones that are GMO'd so that you're not having insecticides on your food. And you
right.
know.
So maybe we should just go through and kind of like explain the difference in whole foods, organic foods, and GMOs.
Okay.
For our listeners that may not know, because I didn't know in the beginning. I was eating asparagus out of a can.
Touche, my dear, touche.
All right, so you want to take whole foods?
Yeah, so I've been on the whole foods diet, and it's pretty much just, you know, like you cook all your meals and you know exactly what it is. So it's a whole food first, right? So whether you have beans or rice, an apple, like whatever, like I know exactly what I'm putting in, and it's all natural foods. Like,
right.
Not
it's nothing out of a box. It's nothing really out of your freezer. It's nothing like pre-mixed in a factory.
Yeah. So
it's like a real food.
The idea is that it's not processed. And right. So some people go as far as to say that they don't eat rice because rice is processed. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not that strict about it. I'm really not strict about anything. I just, and we'll talk about my like 90-10. We talked about that earlier. I just try to make good choices. And so for me, like I may not eat a 100% whole food diet, but I try my best to eat a lot of whole foods. So then there's organic, and organic just means that no pesticides have been used on it while it was being grown, whether it was a vegetable or if it's an animal product, then the animals were not fed anything with pesticides, right?
Exactly.
And then GMOs, which you already touched on, GMOs started as like cross-pollination between two different kinds of trees, and they have evolved into things like adding spider DNA to, is it cows?
I don't know, man. It's some one of really wacky stuff where they go into the DNA of the plants or the animals.
Or animals, yeah.
And they make them so that they're resistant to different things. And it's almost like, do you remember Dolly, the genetic cow, or genetic sheep? Was it a sheep?
Yeah, I think that might be the spider thing.
Oh, I don't know. We're doing great.
We know stuff.
Well, GMOs, it's evolved from cross-pollination into this, like, I don't know if you've seen Idiocracy. We're going to start pouring Gatorade on top of all of our crops to make them grow.
It's what plants crave. So I think my quick explanation of GMOs, because I've had this conversation with my friends that maybe don't know about it before, is I go directly to Monsanto. And Monsanto is a chemical company, and they now own the rights to the majority of the corn and the soy in the U.S. And what they do is they make their crops Roundup ready. And so what that means is they have genetically modified the crops to withstand just, they could just be watered with Roundup, which is a pesticide, and it wouldn't kill the plant. It will kill everything but the plant. In addition to that, they have added a gene into their plants that kills bugs. So if bugs bite their plant, then it explodes the bug's stomach and the bug will die. So that means that your food, your plant food, it's especially corn and soy, are just doused in these chemicals, and they don't know. Like, they never did any research to find out, like, what is going to be the effects of this. And what we're seeing is crazy things like leaky gut syndrome starting. And that's what this genetic roulette was about. It was like, you know, these plants are bred to explode the stomachs of bugs. And now we're seeing all these children and adults that eat these foods having similar issues, stomach issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, my suggestion to everyone would be, if you can't go completely non-GMO, try at least to not ever eat non-organic corn or soy.
Hey, that's a great tip. I know January told me about the Dirty Dozen back in the day. So she was on a budget and she was like, well, I can't afford to buy everything organic, because let's be real, like, organic everything is super expensive. Like, you go to Whole Foods.
Which I beg to differ a little bit.
Well, if you go to Whole Foods, you're looking at a very big bill at the end. However, if you go to, we'll have it in the show notes, but it's the Dirty Dozen. So they compile like the top pesticide infused foods. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that she would buy organic.
Right. I've heard of this too. And actually here, I really don't have access, to be completely honest. I don't have access to organic foods. So I just have to be really careful about the foods that I am buying. And I think a lot of the ones that are on the Dirty Dozen list, I'm going to pull it up. I'm having like a really shitty Google time, but I think a lot of them are the ones that have skin on the outside. Yes. So they have like a hard skin. So they're getting sprayed with the pesticides. And then, so even if you can't maybe buy them organic, you at least remove the skin, and that does help a lot. So you want to hear what they are?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to make me hungry. Apples, peaches, nectarines, strawberries, grapes, celery, spinach, sweet bell peppers, cucumbers, cherry tomatoes, snap peas that are imported, potatoes, damn, hot peppers, kale, and collard greens.
Mm.
Delicious.
For the love of kale.
So, yeah. That I think that's a really good tip, too, especially for those of us that are on a budget. Like, you know, just try to make good choices here and there. And I think that that's how I got to the point where I'm at, is I just was like, okay, well, I don't want to eat, you know, corn or soy. And then like that, there's a switch that kind of flips in your head. And then you're like, as you're in the store, you're thinking about it. And so you're trying to just make, you know, choices as you're going along the way, right?
Exactly. So I wanted to just briefly touch on something, and then I'm going to round it back with the real food book. So just because something says it's organic or says it's GMO free does not mean that it's good for you. And I say this just because there's so much added sugar in processed products. And that's kind of why I do the whole foods diet instead. It's just like, anytime you add sugar in, I'll have to look up the link for it, but they did a study on children that were obese, and they gave them the same amount of calories. So two groups, the control group and then the test group, right? So control group just ate what they normally ate, which was like the processed foods with added sugars. And the test group ate the same amount of calories without the added sugars. So they were still mm-hmm. eating some processed foods, but
Salt, sugar,
fat.
Salt, sugar, fat. Yeah, you sent me this book.
That's a great book. But so they did that, and the kids that didn't get the added sugar actually lost weight while their caloric intake was the same. So
wow,
I think that it's really important to look at the ingredients. And we'll get into that as this podcast evolves too.
For sure.
The Nina Plank book, Real Food, What to Eat and Why, that was really beneficial to me because I eat meat. I don't do pork or beef, but I do eat chicken, turkey, and fish and the occasional other thing, I guess, but not the big mammals. And for me, it made me realize like, okay, the higher up the food chain, the more you would really want this to be an organic product, right?
Yes.
So that's why we have organic milk. We have organic butter. We try and buy organic meats and organic eggs. However, I did in Bon Appetit, they said that cage-free eggs are actually better for you than organic eggs. So that's something
I think
to think
that you
about.
Should try to get organic and cage-free eggs, because then cage-free eggs, they're grazing. So they're getting more of a natural type of diet. They may also, you know, be supplemented with some kind of feed, and you also want that feed to be organic.
Yes.
So I think that that's a really good tip too. The only other thing that I would really urge people to do is if you are buying a food in a package, turn it around, look at the label and see what's in it. Because I still get taken sometimes where I'll buy something and I'm like, oh, that can't be bad. And then I get home and I'm like, what do you mean my pickles have high fructose corn syrup in them? Like, what is going on?
Seriously, you had pickles with high fructose corn syrup?
Yeah, they're the bread and butter ones. So they're the sweet pickles. So I should have freaking known better.
Oh, man. I would have never even thought that. Yeah. So I look at ingredients and my husband looks at the nutritional value of stuff. And so he gauges stuff based off of
that's
that.
That's a good balance.
And I look, yeah. I'm not usually the one that's going to be like, oh, it has that many, you know, fat calories, because I don't really care about that.
Me either.
But, you know, I know that if I look down and it says hydrogenated oils, that there's going to be trans fat in it. Like, duh.
Yes.
You know, and we don't want the trans fat. So I think at some point we'll put together our list of stuff to avoid in the grocery store, like on the ingredients list, because we've talked about that before. That needs to be done.
And the list it's big, I would say.
Well, I think that I got most of my information from Natural News on that.
Yes. See, they're good. Natural News. They have a lot of good to say, and they just have a lot of information on their website. And like I said before, just look at everything objectively.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to shift gears now? Where you want to go with this?
Well, this actually it segues smoothly into my 90-10 lifestyle.
Please do share.
So the way that I've sort of started to live my life as a more natural type of person is I live by a 90-10 rule. And the way that it works out in my head is that I believe that if I make good choices about what I'm putting in and on and around my body 90% of the time, that my body is equipped to deal with the other 10%. So that means
you can eat one Oreo at night if you've ate good food all day long.
Basically, yeah, it's exactly that. Like, if I'm making good choices about my food, if I'm, you know, putting whole, good, nutritious things into my body, and then, you know, I want to drink a Coca-Cola Classic because I have, you know, like a weak spot for them, you know, on a week, like once a week or whatever, then I know that my body is strong and, you know, capable of dealing with the garbage that is a Coca-Cola Classic.
Just get some chia seeds.
Exactly. Your body is equipped to purge toxins. And so if you're not overloading your system with toxins, then it can handle it. And I mean, this even goes into like my natural products. So I think we talked about the natural facial cleanser. So I use a natural facial cleanser, I use a natural soap, I use natural toothpaste, but I have crazy hair and I have not found a natural product that works on my hair yet. And I don't go around feeling guilty about that. Of course, I would rather have a natural product. I just haven't found one yet. But I know that I'm not going to die because I'm putting a mainstream product on my hair.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if any of our curly girls are out there and have a good all natural fro product, send it over to me. Please.
Which, yeah, but then I asked Kelly, I'm like, hey, Kelly, I went to my sister's house and she had dry shampoo. And I was like, ooh la la, dry shampoo. That would be so nice in my life. And then I was at the store and I was like, hey, Kel, can I buy this dry shampoo? And she said, what did you say? What are the ingredients?
It was like kerosene.
No, it was like butane.
Butane, whatever. Same thing. No, this is what you said. You're misrepresenting what happened. You called me and you were like, I want to buy this dry shampoo, but it goes against everything I believe. And I was like, then you don't need it. And then you told me what was in it. And I was like, then you really don't need it.
I bought it.
Well, I hope nobody lights a match around you.
No, I've only used it twice because every time I use it, I feel bad. And that's kind of the other thing. So there's this book called The Yoga of Eating, which is applicable to more than just eating. It's great for just living a better lifestyle, for doing different things in your life. But in it, it kind of just says, like, don't feel bad about the stuff that you're doing.
Yeah. Well, like, that's what I'm saying.
If
like,
you're
that's part
eat
of
the Oreo. If you're going to spray your hair with dry shampoo, don't feel bad about it.
Yeah. If you're going to put LA Looks hair gel on your hair because it's the only thing that works. I'm just kidding. It's not actually what I use, but I have used that. No, and that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I just choose to try to make as many good decisions as I can and forgive myself for the others and know that my body is capable of dealing with them. Because I do drink Coca-Cola Classics on not a regular basis, but I'd say a few times a month. For shame.
I think that was probably the first thing to go, though, when I started doing my shift was like no soda.
Me too. I had to break that habit because it was bad. I never even drank water. I just drank like 9 Pepsis a day.
Can you imagine like if you continued on like it just because it's caffeinated, right? And so it dries you out and your body's all water. So yeah, I switched from, you know, soda to water and like it saves you so much money. It's ridiculous. Yes. But
well, I was working at the Rancheria still and they just had unlimited Pepsi on tap anytime you wanted. So I was just like drinking Pepsi all day, every day. And but I was skinny because I smoked cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that fun in our early 20s?
Oh, the 20s are so much fun. And then you
I
have
know
to
how
come
far
back,
we've come.
And then you have to come back and refine for the 30s.
So I wanted to ask you your opinion about something.
Okay.
I have a lot of gray hair.
Oh, goodness.
And I've only ever dyed my hair twice in my life. And I'd like to say that's because I'm so natural, but it's actually because I'm so fucking lazy. That I can't deal and cheap that I can't deal with it. So,
well, you know, my stance, like, I don't even know what my natural hair color is because
I do.
That is my 10%, right? I dye my hair by myself once a month. And I just really think I'm a blonde, but I'm not.
I think you're a blonde too. And then anytime I see you and your hair is not blonde, I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. The only other hair color that I full like wholeheartedly approve of is the pink that you do. I think it looks lovely. It's like sherbet-y and
cotton candy pink. Yeah, that was awesome.
So I don't know whether I should just let it happen, but I'm only 31 and my hair is very dark and so it shows a lot. Or if I should start dyeing my hair and then like all this whole year, like between 30 and 31, I was like, I'm just going to focus on not being vain and just allow my body to age. And then now it's just getting out of hand.
Well, let's be real. You're a Leo and you have to take care of your mane, dude.
I know.
So this is kind of one of our yogi solutions to the human condition, right? So Kelly tells me, hey, I'm getting gray hairs. What do I do? And I'm like, well, my teacher says that while she's doing yoga, her gray hairs fall off on her yoga mat. So just do yoga, Kelly.
So I jump on my yoga mat right away, right?
You did.
And I have a time lapse video because it was so ridiculous. I had to videotape it so I could send it to you. I have a time lapse video of Kira just crawling all over my body and getting so tangled up in my hair. She was like ripping it out by the handful. And so I sent it to Jessie and I was like, is this what you meant?
Yeah, but kind of like there she is pulling out all your gray hair. Like,
and all the other ones, too.
No, but I think there's a little bit of truth to that. Like, yoga does keep you looking young and healthy. And they talk about this fountain of youth. It's like it drips down the back of your throat, and if you can turn your tongue around, and maybe I should just stop.
No, it's fine.
You catch it. Otherwise, the fountain of youth goes into the stomach and gets burnt up.
Oh my God, that sounds like a post-nasal drip. So yesterday, after I sent you that video, I was going to the grocery store and I ran into my yoga teacher, who I haven't seen in forever because I just, you know, my nanny is gone. And so I haven't been going to classes. And he's like as Rasta fabulous as ever. I have this yoga teacher and he like saved my life. But his name is Malik, but he goes by King, and he's like a Rasta dude. So I see him and he's walking into the grocery store. I'm pretty sure he didn't have shoes on. He was wearing a literal burlap bag as a shirt and some kind of like flowy linen pants. And he has this hat on his head. And
what kind of hat? Like a fedora?
It was a fucked up hat. It was like he has dreads, so he usually like wraps them. So it's probably like at least a foot off the top of his head. And it's like crocheted, like green and brown and orange. And like it's like huge and like tied in like a bow.
Do you know Richard and I's fucked up hat joke?
Yes, that's why I had told you it was a fucked up hat.
Okay, let's let the listeners know.
When
Richard and I lived up in Portland, Oregon, it was like hipster brigade up there where everybody was competing to wear the most fucked up hat. Like,
well, Malik King, yoga teacher, would have won.
So we actually send each other pictures of people wearing effed up hats. And then the tagline is, know how I know.
That's awesome.
They're from Portland.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm really sad, but the scrunchy like beanies, the like saggy ones.
Do you know what called a snood?
About? What is it called?
A snood.
A snood?
A snood. It's a perfect name for it, right?
People wearing snoods. Apparently it caught on like south of Portland. I'm like, please, you guys, no.
Just stop.
No, and yeah. It's not even that cold, you know?
Anyways. Yeah, they're ridiculous. So yeah, I ran into my yoga teacher and he was like there in all of his Rasta glory with his messed up hat and his burlap shirt, and he had a freaking doob hanging out of his mouth. And he goes to give me a hug, and like it wasn't lit or anything, but he like sucked it in his mouth, like put it inside of his mouth and gave me a hug and then popped it out of his mouth, which must be some kind of like Rasta magic or something. But anyway, it was really nice to see him, and I'm hoping that I can get to some of his classes soon, because he said that he's teaching them on the beach now.
Ooh.
So if there's anything that's just better than yoga, it's yoga on the beach.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's my actual calling with yoga, is to teach yoga on the beach.
Well, that's our plan. We're working on it.
We're getting there. Look forward to some retreats coming up.
Keep your eyes peeled, or your ears, whatevs.
Okay.
All right. So, let's move right along from my tangent into the conspiracy theorist segment.
So if I was a conspiracy theorist, I would probably encrypt my shit.
If I was a conspiracy theorist, I would probably encrypt my shit too, but I don't know how.
If I wasn't a blonde conspiracy theorist. No, I'm joking. So we wanted to kind of talk about like the Blonde's Guide to Encryption, just because there's some stuff that's happened in recent times that's somewhat alarming. And if I were a conspiracy theorist, I would definitely be concerned.
Okay. What happened? Tell me what's going on.
Did you know that President Obama, before he left office, did an executive... What are they called?
An executive order?
Yes, he did an executive order. And you would think that he would be doing something like really awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, he didn't. He didn't do a good thing. What he did is he said that all of the NSA metadata that they collect can be shared, not just with the NSA, but across CIA, FBI, all of the 16 different agencies.
If I were a conspiracy theorist, I would say that that is in direct violation of our Fourth Amendment rights.
I know, right?
Do you know what the Fourth Amendment is?
Wait, no, you didn't get my pun because I said, I know, right? Like, you're right. Oh.
That's punny.
Go ahead and fill me in on the Fourth Amendment.
All right. The Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution provides the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
That does sound like it would be in direct violation, and I'm not even a conspiracy theorist.
Me either, but I would say, if I were, that was a violation of my Fourth Amendment rights granted to me by the Constitution of the United States of America, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
That was a no agenda pun. Okay, so I decide, you know, like when I'm curious about these different things, which I was informed by the No Agenda show that this happened on like January 17th or something, you know,
okay,
right before Trump's coming in.
Right.
Okay.
So well, that's what I was saying is Obama was like, bring me my pen. I'm signing executive orders on everything right before he left.
Yeah. But like Snowden's still in Russia. Like that's super dumb. Anyways, I did a whole bunch of research. And what I remember in history is like even in the Snowden movie. Right. So at the end of it, they're talking about how like Obama gets on and he does his address and he's like, we will not allow the NSA to collect information on citizens and blah, blah, blah. Right. Do you remember that?
Yes.
OK, so he says all that and then the whole thing never stopped. Like they kept collecting data.
Like, no, Snowden was like, hey, look, everybody, they're collecting data. And they were like, nothing to say here, and just like moved on with their work day.
So, and it's under Section 215 of the USA Patriot Act. And all I can think is like, this is the Unpatriot Act, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's 1984 doublespeak.
It is. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I do have a lot of research that I would like to kind of get into.
Yeah.
If Lay you got time.
What else am I doing?
So in the research, it's just kind of like little tidbits here and there. And I have all these links up in the show notes, but it didn't end. So like everybody was like, oh, yeah, it's going to stop. It's going to end, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not stopping. It's not ending. And then Obama, like who said he ran the most transparent, whatever, presidency.
yeah.
He's okay. Actually like, he increased the amount of shit that they were doing. And then before he leaves office, just gives it all away, like to all of the different agencies. And so I'm sitting over here like, well, is it just, you know, in the beginning it was all, oh, well, people corresponding from abroad, which means like me and you, Kel, because you're in a different country. They're listening to us. Right.
Yeah. But that would make a lot more sense. I mean, it would make sense. It would probably still not feel really great or right. And it probably would still be in violation of your Fourth Amendment right. Mm-hmm. As a citizen like living in America. But that's not all they were doing.
No, it's like geolocation on your cell phone, access to your emails, all of your different stuff. So like when I go onto my Gmail and it says like verify your account with your phone number. I don't do that.
Me neither.
But then I have the Gmail on my phone too. So it's all like, it's all connected in
right.
the back end.
So what you're saying too is that it's not just that the United States was doing surveillance on citizens abroad or people in other countries. They're literally doing this to like all American citizens. They could just pull your shit up, right?
Yeah. And so what happened with this new order that he did, they can access all of those files, like all of the different files without having, you know, they can just before the NSA would sift through it and
right.
be like, OK, you can have this, but we're not going to expose all of these different American citizens because they're not a part of it. Now they're just going to get to pull whatever they want. And if they find something, you know, within the last like 5 years or so that shows that somebody committed a crime, either through whatever form they like, right? So they have access to the cell phones, the
email,
if I were a conspiracy
Facebook.
theorist, and that's what I thought. So they have access to all this stuff. And if they find any type of criminal activity, they could actually come at you.
Man, that is so fucked up. It's really scary times right now.
It's really bad. So if I were a conspiracy theorist and very concerned about this, I would probably write the president of the United States and say that they, you know, it's not
I think
okay.
that's good advice for those of our listeners that may be conspiracy theorists. If I were a conspiracy theorist, I would probably take some precautions to protect my own privacy on a personal level, like putting some tape over my webcam.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
If you're a conspiracy theorist, I mean. Yeah, go ahead. No, you.
If I were a conspiracy theorist, I would probably use WhatsApp to text message my friends because it's encrypted.
Yeah, I would probably do that too if I were a conspiracy theorist and my friend got rid of her iPhone and now she has only an Android phone and we have to WhatsApp.
If I were a conspiracy theorist, I would use Gmail and only contact my friends that also have Gmail because there's a level of encryption through that.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Anyways, I'm going to have a couple links up too. There's the PC World's How to Encrypt Everything, which they don't actually recommend that us blonde gals go ahead and encrypt everything because we'll probably lock ourselves out of our computers.
All right, fair enough.
But there's also some programs you can get to help encrypt your files. It just gets a little bit more difficult as there's all these cookies and everything's connected and everything's following you around, which only if I were a conspiracy theorist, I'd think that the government would also have access to that.
Yeah, if you were a conspiracy theorist.
But really, you got a question. Like, really, Obama, you're going to hand this over to Donald Trump with... And then there's like, if I were a real big conspiracy theorist, I would think that the reason why Obama passed off all of this information was so that anybody that was in Trump's cabinet could have their information hacked by the deep state.
Ooh.
And then somebody might get fired in 23 days.
That's really interesting. Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
All right. So, Jesse's putting up some links so that those of us that may not know about encryption can learn how to do it and maybe protect ourselves from violation of our Fourth Amendment rights as American citizens. So, cool. Thanks, Jess. That was really informative. And, you might make a good conspiracy theorist if you ever want to be one.
I'll keep working on it.
Okay.
Well, I think that about sums up our podcast for today. And I think we should leave on a little bit lighter of a note. So I have a quote to share. I wrote this in an email the other day and I was like, hey, that's kind of good. I'm going to share it. Life is funny. It challenges your beliefs to make sure you have faith every day.
Oh, that's lovely. All right, Jess. Well, it's been fun. Love you. Bye.
Okay. I love you. Bye.
Well, that sums it up for this episode of the Jesse and Kelly Show. Want to join the conversation? We're hanging out on Facebook and Instagram, and there's lots of goodies on the jesseandkellyshow.com.